From Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs. EM Properties, the primary developer of the Marriott Pere Marquette Hotel and Courtyard Marriott Hotel Complex in downtown Peoria, is asking the city if it can switch management companies. The switch would be from Marriott International to First Hospitality Group. The proposal is on the council agenda, but will be deferred again until the primary lender on the project signs off on the switch. The city of Peoria is the secondary lender on the project. But some financial questions have surfaced regarding the financial wherewithal of the developer. The questions have no known direct impact on the Marriott project, but the foreclosures and lawsuits against EM Properties have some raising an eyebrow. Peoria Journal Star Courts reporter Andy Kravitz and political reporter Chris Kergar broke the story last weekend and are our guest for this Outside the Horseshoe. Chris, Andy, welcome to Outside the Horseshoe. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Tanya.
Thanks.
Saturday's paper had a good-sized story in it, penned by the two of you, on the status of the developer handling the Pere Courtyard Marriott complex in the city. That's significant to the Peoria City Council by way of the fact that the city has quite a bit of money in supporting that project to go forward. How did you come about the knowledge that there were a number of lawsuits sitting out there against the developer right now?
There had been quiet discussion about the fact that there may be something out there for quite some time. We had been hearing word of that, and a little more conclusive tip had come into the newsroom about that to one of our editors. And at that point, last Friday morning, both Andy and I started to look into it with much more depth, which involved a trip on Andy's part down to the courthouse in Pekin to pull the actual files on the lawsuits and read through them and learn what exactly was going on.
What we found was that there were about five suits. One, and the big one that most folks seem to focus on, was filed by Morton Bank, and it sought to foreclose on many parcels of land over in Tazewell County that are either owned by Gary or ones that he is linked through many LLCs.
And that's the part that gets a little bit tricky, is because there are developers working with other developers, and oftentimes deals like that are stacked with multiple investors.
Mm-hmm. Multiple investors that way, and in some cases, issues like this that come along with it. I've heard a number of people say that you really aren't a real estate developer until you've had foreclosure proceedings brought against you, until you've been sued by investors, things like that. So this is not necessarily uncommon within the industry from everything that I've come to understand. But where we thought this was significant to readers, to taxpayers in the city of Peoria, is those $37 million of taxpayer-backed bonds that went toward the financing and construction of the $100 million Pere Marquette and Courtyard by Marriott.
The Peoria City Council agenda tonight includes the proposal that would reassign management of the Pere from the Marriott to First Hospitality Group, mm-hmm. a Midwest-based company. Mm-hmm. And Gary Matthews has said that that would allow more local control of the hotel, presumably allowing it to be more vibrant. Mm-hmm. And that would be good for everyone involved. That proposal was out there before this information in mass was out there. Mm-hmm. Yet tonight, the council will be deferring the proposal that's in front of them based on the idea that the primary lender has not yet signed off on whether or not this move can be made. If the primary lender signs mm-hmm. off, the city may have cause to concur with that, only because if everything the developer is saying is true, that would presumably give the developer a little more cash on hand, which apparently would be a good thing right now.
Mm-hmm. That would certainly seem to be the case. And the city council does reserve an option, is my understanding. They have an option to say no, just as anybody else in the process that has a say has an option to say no. Whether that's likely, I don't know. I'm not hearing anybody on the council that I've talked to who's saying, absolutely not, we're going right. to hold off on this thing for one reason or another. I'm hearing lots of questions from members of the council, lots of requests for additional information, whether that be on how specifically First Hospitality it is able to market the hotel better, the way they work with their employees and how they plan to better train them in the area, or even something as simple as questions about the finances of the hotel, which, as we've reported, and I believe you guys have as well, fall under the confidentiality clause that's part of the redevelopment agreement on the hotel, which effectively means that Peoria citizens don't have any knowledge of how well the hotel that their money ultimately is backing in part is performing, other than what city staff has been able to tell us, which is that it's inside the ballpark, and there's really no way of knowing whether that's a foul tip that ends up flying back behind the catcher, or if that's an inside the park home run. Again, I'm not a banker. I'm not a financier. I make a journalist's salary. I have a hard time imagining, from what I've seen and what I know, that any of the banks would want to make things in any way more difficult for Gary Matthews, who's on the hook to them, obviously, for money or return on investment or paying down of his loans, make it more difficult for him to run his business if he believes and has made the case to them that this management change would be easier to run his business. It stands to reason that easier to run his business means more profit, means able to make payments not just on those loans, but potentially on some of these other businesses as well.
But I just want to point out, nothing in these four, five, or six suits has pointed out that the heir is in any type of trouble. All that we have found is there is a letter in one of them where Gary says that he is having cash flow issues due to his new hotel. But I think that's an important thing to point out, is that while it appears that he might not be doing well on the east side of the river, there's no evidence, or at least none that I've seen or that Chris has seen, that says that things are going south here.
Andy is absolutely yes. right about that there's no indication of that from the foreclosures, certainly. We don't have enough information based on the suit to know whether the core construction lawsuit against Mr. Matthews and others related to the $1.5 million loan has anything to do with the Pear Marquette or if it's for other properties. We do know that at least some of the separate lawsuit filed by Dr. Andy Chu, a physician in town, as well as a prominent investor in the pier, relates in part to an unpaid loan and in further part to a $70,000 of consulting agreement money that he maintains, and Matthews apparently did not contest, was owed to him with regard to
And
Matthews
that
properties.
Is also, Chris is right, is that what happened was, is that for some of these suits, Gary did not contest them. So therefore, he admits that he owes some of this money. He's not fighting it. And it could be just, as he says in some of this, it's just a cash flow thing that he's banking, pardon the pun, on getting money so that then he could pay folks back. He just can't do it right now. Sort of like a robbing Peter to pay Paul type thing.
Well, and the spreadsheets that are being worked with in Gary Matthews' office have numbers on them, the likes that few of us will ever have to be responsible for. That said, what does it take to get to the point of filing these lawsuits? Because it looks like the bottom line may be money, but is that really the issue?
Well, what happened, some of them, for instance, on the foreclosure suit, many of the parcels, which are off River Road and Camp Street in East Peoria, the mortgage payments had not been made for many months.
How many months?
In some cases, it was maybe 8, 9, 10. In some cases, it was a bit more. And in some cases, it was a bit less. It is hard to tell because multiple LLCs are linked to one parcel. So you might have two companies that are on a mortgage on one parcel of land, and as such, it's kind of hard to tell exactly who owed what and when and where. And that's just how business is done. No developer is going to put themselves on the hook for everything. So they break it out. So if one thing goes bad, the rest of their things aren't trash.
Yeah, it could be stable. Yeah,
what I think is especially interesting about this and how we got here is the relationships that exist with each of these three individuals or entities and Mr. Matthews, his partner Monty Brennan, and the multiplicity of companies that are involved. Morton Community Bank, obviously a key lender for all of those properties in East Peoria, as well as one for the Paramarquette. Core Construction, which received the main contract for the construction, the gutting and the renovation of the Paramarquette. And Dr. Chu, who has been a backer of Matthew, a very public backer. In fact, yes. He spoke at the city council urging them to approve the redevelopment agreement and was on contract with Mr. Matthews to provide consulting services, whatever those may have been. Now, I would emphasize we have not had the opportunity. We did not receive calls back from Mr. Matthews, Mr. Chu, et cetera. In the course of this story, they elected not to speak to us. But those longstanding relationships that have existed, business relationships at minimum in those cases, to go from longstanding business relationships to let's settle this in the courts often takes some intervening steps. If you have a guy that you've had a business relationship with, that guy typically is not going to go straight to the court.
His attorney to file a suit.
Exactly. Yes. Often you try to work those things out individually through through phone calls, through nasty grams from your attorney first before you take it to the court.
Well, yes. And what you're saying is Gary Matthews and EM Properties didn't end up in this position overnight. Some of these properties and these projects had to be in financial default. In fact, you guys wrote stories on that at the point the Pear and the Courtyard projects were moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not as if this is a complete surprise. It just has room to be a little bit more unsettling, I suspect, for the average taxpayer, given the city's financial involvement in the Pear and that block, as well as the fact that that is a very special piece of real estate to the redevelopment of the downtown.
Absolutely. And I would certainly agree with you that this is not necessarily a smoking gun. This is not something that says City Council, don't go ahead and approve the management change or anything like that. This is one more piece of data that members of the council need to look at in deciding how to move forward when ultimately they take up this question, as well as raises longer term questions for them. We like to think that everybody in public life gets a little better as they have other experiences, and you have to wonder what lessons members of city staff and members of the city council have learned from this particular deal as it's worked its way through the council and construction to door opening and financial reports back from December 2008 to today. What would people do differently, and what additional notice would you like to have? What additional discussion would you like to have with future developers if anyone is ever in this type of situation again?
Yeah.
And you've got a substantial city backing to a project of any kind.
I think that Chris and you are both right. But it's also not fair on some level for us to go out and write these stories, and because it does look bad on Gary and the other folks. But I would also come back and say, if you take money from the taxpayers, unfortunately, this is what takes place. It does not mean they are doing bad. And it doesn't even mean, as Chris said, they're the smoking gun or that there's anything wrong. But I would love to hear from a Gary. I would love to hear from Mr. Chu. I would love to hear from all these people to say, hey, this is all a big misunderstanding. But right now, we don't know that. And all that we do know is that there is a man who is at the head of a firm who's trying to build or to complete a massive thing, as you said, downtown. And he might owe lots and lots of money to a whole bunch of folks.
Right. And as near as you can tell, totaling up the lawsuits that are out there right now.
It's sort of hard to tell because multiple LLCs are on the hook in multiple places. I think the best way to put it, it is more than 10 mil. And maybe if you add them all up, it might get up to 15. But I don't think that's fair. I would just say more than 10.
Yes. That when you say 10 million, though, are you thinking more than 10 million that EM Properties is responsible for, or more than 10 million that EM Properties and company is responsible
company.
For?
But from what I could tell, and again, I'm no business guy, as Chris said, we don't run in the same circle.
No, really?
I wish. But it looks like EM is linked to all these different LLCs. For instance, I mean, you and I could start a business and we could have a newsstand and we could call that News LLC. Then we could have a radio business and call that Radio LLC. You and me are still partners, but we have two different things.
Given that there have been lots of calls placed on this and lots of calls not returned on this, do you have any sense that EM Properties relationships with any of the other LLCs that they're involved with in any of these lawsuits and presumably other projects that are still moving forward, that those relationships are unduly strained and about to the point of breaking, or are they already broken? Any idea where those relationships stand?
It's not entirely clear to us at this stage, and this would require looking deeper into it, whether those LLCs are other individuals or whether those are companies that Mr. Matthews and Mr. Brannon have that they operate it, but it would not be uncommon for there to be a lead firm running things with other associated groups from the same individuals or different investors, but same individuals at the forefront of them that are involved in any of those developments. So what I'm saying, bottom line, is that we do not know, but that it would not be uncommon to see the same people running
absolutely
all of those.
Sure. It's the part that isn't clear is clearly between Dr. Chu and Gary Matthews, there is friction to the extent that they probably wouldn't be going to dinner together.
I would not think so. And again, we have not heard from either of them. But for an individual investor, particularly a prominent investor, a man in the area himself who's involved in any number of projects, to go out that publicly as to file a lawsuit rather than work things out quietly behind the scenes suggests that there may have been a break in some of the previously longstanding ties there.
Chris Carrigard, Andy Kravitz, thank you for taking the time.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Outside the Horseshoe on 89.9 WCBU, Peoria Public Radio. I'm Tanya Kuntz.